Managing routings and queue sizes. Here we discuss managing workflows and routings, as well as queue sizes. Managing workflows and routings. Workflows and routings can be managed to maintain the on-time status of schedules while promoting schedule stability. Since rescheduling can be disruptive, some tools for fine-tuning routings include adjusting process batches and transfer batches, accounting for actual equipment and labor status, and using lot splitting or alternate routings. Process batches and transfer batches. Process and transfer batches should be evaluated regularly to determine if adjusting their sizes could better support production and inventory plans. Process batches are based partly on equipment capacities, for example, an oven that holds 64 units, and equipment capacities may not be easy to adjust. However, this is just where process batch lot sizing starts. Process batch lot sizes are based on minimizing costs, including material preparation and setup times, and so are often multiples of the equipment capacities. Continuing the example of a 64-unit oven, if the oven cycle time is 1 hour, it may be most economical to set the economic process batch at 1,024 units, 16 hours, or 2 8-hour shifts, if this amount is a good lot size for the given setup, for example, precise oven temperature. Also, rakes and shift changes and so on would be timed to occur during a cycle so that the oven throughput does not fall. After determining the process batch lot size, the size of the transfer batch is determined. This needs to account for factors such as keeping subsequent operations utilized, minimizing inventory investment, making efficient use of floor or storage space, or minimizing wait times. Rather than waiting the 16 hours to send a batch of 1,024 units, continuing the prior example, transfer batches of, say, 256 units could be sent every 4 hours if this would be most efficient and effective. The term transfer batch is also used in Lean and Kanban. It is sometimes referred to as move quantity, lot splitting. In normal operations, the process and transfer batch lot sizes would remain consistent. In exceptional situations, lot splitting could be used as an ad hoc tool to resolve problems. If the process batch and the transfer batch for an operation are the same size, lot splitting could create a temporary transfer batch. Alternately, if there is already a standard transfer batch, a smaller than normal or larger than normal transfer batch would also be considered lot splitting. The purpose is to meet capacity utilization, for example, to take advantage of a window of capacity at a later work center, or order timing objectives, for example, to compress a schedule for a rush order. Lot splitting could reduce efficiency and increase costs since the standard process batch and transfer batch sizes were calculated as the most efficient sizes in normal situations. Actual capacity status. Routings can be disrupted when work center actual capacities do not match their planned capacities. Therefore, it is important to review equipment and labor status by work center and make adjustments given equipment downtime or labor shortages. Equipment and labor capacity issues can be expected or unexpected. Things like maintenance and vacation schedules are expected and should be incorporated in the current plans by reducing the capacity of the given work center for that period. This could be automatically accounted for in some systems, or it could require a manual override. The impact on the plan of unexpected equipment downtime or labor shortages requires the ability to make reactive adjustments that are both wise and timely, meaning that they minimize the impact on the overall schedule. Alternate routings. Alternate routings produce an identical result but are not the preferred routing. This could include routings to alternate work centers, such as an older, less efficient piece of equipment or a contractual agreement with a third party to maintain overflow capacity. In other cases, the order of operations might be shifted, such as performing some later operations earlier than is desired when the sequence is discretionary rather than mandatory. Changes to routings that are discretionary will be feasible to accomplish but may increase risks, such as the risk of rework or scrap. A mandatory order of operations cannot use an alternate routing but could use an alternate work center. The mandatory order can be based on logic or regulatory requirements. The production activity control manager needs to make the decision whether and when to use a feasible alternate routing by assessing the trade-offs involved. There could be significant setup time. Labor availability needs to be determined. These costs and constraints are assessed against the alternatives, which could include rescheduling or delaying the order or allowing queue sizes to increase. managing the size of queues. Queue sizes at each work center need to be carefully monitored against their target or threshold levels for exception review. Queue time is important because queue is often the largest element of lead time and can become a systemic problem that impacts the on-time status of all orders. The tools for managing the size of queues include input/output control, information on load from the schedule, and the status of open orders. Input/output control measures the variances between planned and actual inputs and planned and actual outputs. Analysis of these variances provides information on the size of queues accumulating at specific work centers. Given a queue size that is undesired, the production activity control manager can find ways to increase capacity at the affected work centers, such as by reallocating staff, approving overtime, or using alternate routings or alternate work centers. If capacity change is not feasible or is not allowed due to its cost impact, it will be necessary to determine which orders have higher priority than others so that the impact of the longer lead times is minimized for later operations or for priority customers. Reprioritization may involve determining and implementing different prioritization rules. There may be one set of prioritization rules for when queues are within a normal range and a different set for when queues are too long. A best practice is to design rules for exceptional situations in advance so they can be well thought out and communicated, including by providing necessary training.